Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Our forecast for today, calling for clouds to be on the decrease. We'll have a high around the mid-50s. Kenosha right now is at 33. It's 34 in Burlington. Milwaukee, 39, 37 degrees in Racine. A recount in Racine's 3rd Aldermanic District changed the vote totals by one, but not the outcome. Monday's canvass confirmed the Election Day results, challenger John Tay II defeating incumbent Mike Shields by 5 votes. After Tuesday's recount, that total narrowed to 4 votes, both candidates picking up a few extra along the way that were not counted Election Day. Final tally, 186 for Tate, 182 for Shields. Shields had gone to court yesterday morning, trying to delay the beginning of the recount for just a few hours because his attorney wasn't available for the 1 p.m. start time listed by the clerk of court's office, the circuit court office. The clerk of court's office noted that a judge denied Shields' request for that court order, with City Attorney Scott Letney explaining the issue was simply availability of the members of the canvass board. Shields' final council meeting is to be next Monday night. Tate will then be sworn in the following night. Michigan's Corbin Design is going to continue on a wayfinding signage project for the city of Racine, while the Public Works and Services Committee is also backing the installation of wayfinding signs on a state project for the Frank Lloyd Wright-designed S.E. Johnson and Wingspread facilities. On the city's project, Development Office Specialist Ben Lehner explained, this is the next step in this process with Corbin Design. They specialize in this type of work.
From site location to design, and some of the fabrication specifications. Now we're at the final siting of these signs, so they picked some general areas, but they haven't done like the on-the-ground research. But we're at that point where they're going to do the final siting and then the actual fabrication and installation of the signs.
Downtown Racine Director Devin Sutherland said that the signs were on their strategic plan back in 2008, and feedback thus far has been very positive.
We spent a lot of time with Corbin, a lot of time gathering input, identifying the sites, and certainly trying to get people's opinions of what this signage should look like. And I think overall, they did a pretty good job. It was a very pleasant experience. They were great consultants to work with. Very thorough and responsive to us.
On the state project for Frank Lloyd Wright signs into Racine, City Engineer John Rooney explained that they would direct people off the interstate at Highway 20 to the 14th Street SCJ complex, then through downtown along Main Street toward Wingspread.
We're the permitting agency for all the connecting highways in the city of Racine. So the signs, in order to get you off the interstate and get you to these destinations, have to be put in right of way that DOT is not have purview over, the city of Racine does. So what the DOT is asking is that we install the signs on their behalf. There's a handful of signs they want to see put in. They are going to pay for them 100%.
The Frank Lloyd Wright signs will go up within the next few weeks in the city before any wayfinding signs, that is, for the local attractions, and before the state puts up the Wright signs along the interstate. Western Racine County Services Center building in Burlington, the site for County Executive Jonathan Delagrave's next listening session, coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon until about 6 p.m. The county exec to be joined by county staffers and Annie Lefebvre, the community navigator for the western part of the county, is going to be showcasing the county's services at that location, including workforce solutions and human services. It's also the chance for interested residents to learn about plans for eventually demolishing that building. That'll be either later this year or early next year, and a possible new location of the Burlington Senior Center. In Kenosha, the Capital campaign toward renovating a vacant building on 39th Avenue into a single-site permanent homeless shelter and soup kitchen continues to grow by leaps and bounds, thanks mainly to anonymous community supporters. Executive Director Lynn Beast Carroll says over $850,000 has been raised thus far, one anonymous donor continuing to match contributions from area churches, even though the man's initial $200,000 match has already been met. Beast Carroll says that same donor also offering to match contributions to the Shalom Center's operating fund up to $100,000. That man said to be especially pleased with the soup kitchen, which has offered a meal every night for 34 years. And there's a $50,000 check toward operations that was received from another anonymous donor. While the impact really isn't quite clear at this point, pending new federal immigration policies, which are expected soon, Gateway Technical College taking steps to inform students and staff and to respond to their concerns. This is regarding immigration matters. It's in his weekly message, Gateway President Brian Albrecht, saying the school has been working with local officials, trying to ensure all their obligations are being met. Posters are being put up with information about student rights and sources for legal help.
We have bulletin boards around the campus, really direct information for students about events that are taking place on campus and throughout the community. And a poster was provided by the Immigrant Defense Project, which really helps to provide some guidance for individuals who want more information or want to learn more about some of the changes that are taking place.
He notes the steps are being taken to ensure students' privacy, while adding that Gateway cannot stop law enforcement, including federal enforcement agencies, from coming to the campus. They do have a job to do, but Albrecht says there are no plans to create any kind of sanctuary status on Gateway campuses. Looks like a hearing to determine the fate of a Kenosha police officer who pled guilty to misdemeanor counts stemming from a confrontation New Year's Day with the boyfriend of his estranged wife not going to be necessary. An agenda for the next Kenosha Police and Fire Commission meeting indicates Officer Kendall West has resigned, effective Monday. West arrested after confronting his wife and that man outside Kenosha Hospital and punching the doctor. According to the documents filed with the commission by Police Chief Dan Miskinnis, West allegedly also confronted his wife at a local motel a few days earlier, both incidents while West was on duty. A hearing on Miskinnis' complaint had been scheduled for later this month. The commission will be voting on West's resignation at their meeting next Tuesday morning. A 47-year-old truck driver from Hubertus facing charges in Racine County after witnesses said that his semi was swerving across the road of Highway 11 on Monday. WRJN's Janet Hoff has details.
A sheriff's deputy also observed the semi cross the center line before the truck was stopped just east of Shawn Road in Union Grove. According to court documents, James Stadney said he didn't know how he ended up in Racine County and said he was trying to get to Milwaukee. The deputy said it appeared Stadney was under the influence. Stadney has been charged with a felony count of possession of narcotic drugs and misdemeanor counts of possession of a controlled substance, possession of marijuana, and driving without a valid commercial license. He'll return to court later this month for a preliminary hearing on the charges and was ordered not to drive as a condition of his bail. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
A Racine County highway worker being praised for keeping a drunk driver from leaving the scene of a single vehicle accident in Sturtevant on Monday. Julie Anderson, the county's director of Public Works and Development Services, talked to the county board about it last night and said she got a call from the Sturtevant Police Chief, Sean Marschke, about the incident. Anderson said that the employee, J.D. Davidson, while out just on routine efforts, spotted a vehicle being driven erratically on Highway H Monday afternoon.
He called into our shop and said, Call the police. There's a guy driving down Highway H, and he's all over the road, and he's going to wind up killing somebody. Well, shortly after that, this individual in this vehicle veered off and hit a pole.
Davidson stopped, made sure the driver who was trying to back up did not get away. Chief Marschke told Anderson that driver who was going to work at the time could have caused a serious accident and was taken into custody for OWI. Anderson said this is the type of leadership expected of Racine County employees, and she's very proud of Davidson for making the decision he did to stop what could have been a very dangerous situation. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.